Foresters now identify the biggest problem in managing western forests as what to do with those increased fuel loads that build up during the previous half century of effective fire suppression. In an ideal world, the Forest Service would thin them out and remove the dense understory by cutting or by controlled small fires. But that would cost over $1,000 per acre for a total of about $100 billion. No politician or voter wants to spend that kind of money. Even if the costs were lower, much of the public would be suspicious of such a proposal as just an excuse for resuming logging of their beautiful forest. Instead of a regular program of expenditures for maintaining our western forests in a less fire-susceptible condition, the federal government tolerates flammable forests and is forced to spend money unpredictably whenever a firefighting emergency arises. Montanans themselves hold diverse and often self-contradictory views about forest management and forest fires. On the one hand, the public fears and instinctively dislikes the let-it-burn response that the Forest Service is forced to take towards huge fires that would be dangerous or impossible to try to extinguish. When the 1988 fires in much of Yellowstone National Park were allowed to burn, the public was especially loud in its protests, not understanding that in fact there was nothing that could be done except to pray for rain or snow. On the other hand, the public also dislikes proposals for forest thinning programs that could make the forest less flammable. Because people prefer beautiful views of dense forests, they want to leave the forest in a natural condition, and they certainly don't want to pay for thinning by increased taxes. They fail to understand that western forests are already in a highly unnatural condition. The next set of environmental problems in Montana involves its soils. One minor and specific soil problem is that the Bitterroot Valley's boom in commercial apple orchards, which were initially very profitable, collapsed due in part to apple trees exhausting the soil's nitrogen. A more widespread soil problem is erosion, resulting from overgrazing, noxious weed infestation, logging, or excessively hot forest fires that sterilize the topsoil. The net result of these various causes is that about one-third of the Bitterroot's watersheds are considered to be in good shape, one-third are at risk of erosion, and one-third are already eroded and in need of restoration. The remaining soil problem in Montana is salinization, a process involving salt accumulation in soil and groundwater. While such accumulation has always occurred naturally in some areas, a more recent concern is the ruining of large areas of farmland by salinization resulting from some human agricultural practices, particularly from clearing of natural vegetation and from irrigation. In parts of Montana, salt concentrations in soil water have reached levels double those of seawater. Salinization is a problem today in many parts of the world besides the U.S. In the past, it contributed to the decline of the world's oldest civilizations. Salinization provides a large part of the explanation why applying the term Fertile Crescent today to Iraq and Syria, formerly the leading center of world agriculture, would be a cruel joke. Montana's main form of salinization is called saline seep, because salty water building up in the ground in an uphill area percolates through the soil to emerge as a seep in a downhill area up to half a mile or farther distant. Here is how a saline seep arises. Eastern Montana has lots of water-soluble salts present as components of the rocks and soils themselves, and also trapped in marine deposits, because much of the region used to be ocean. In dry eastern Montana environments covered with native vegetation, almost all rain that falls is promptly taken up by the vegetation's roots. However, when a farmer clears the native vegetation to practice crop and fallow agriculture, in which an annual crop is grown during one year and the land is left fallow the next year, there are no plant roots to take up rainwater in the fallow year. That rainwater accumulates in the soil, waterlogs it below the root layer, and dissolves salts that then rise into the root zone as the water table rises. Because of the impermeable underlying bedrock, the salty water doesn't drain deeply into the ground, but emerges somewhere downhill nearby as a saline seep. The result is that crops grow more poorly, or not at all, both in the uphill area where the problem arises and in the downhill area where the seep emerges.